Yes.
I don't think you've explained in knowable details what the heck did William Irwin Thompson do to cause the flip back in early 2017, turning the world upside down. Did he do anything?
Oh.
Or
no,
go ahead.
No, he laid out. He was the bastion. He was the quadrant. Who's the other side of William Irwin Thompson? What's the other side?
Krishnamurti?
And?
Well, Krishnamurti, do you mean LaRouche?
LaRouche would be the antiphonal side, would be the antiphonal side of Thompson.
Yes.
Just as Croker is the opposite of McLuhan. Right?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Those lines are very important. Remember the cross on the head, the halos they put in everything, those four quadrants, those four bodies? They're very key. They don't mean what you think they mean, those quadrants. The quadrants are what you got. That's the only word of all that you got out of that was right. But Thompson is the side that is disbelieving. It's the side that always questions. It's the esoteric that never allows it to be without question. You can't just accept a basic tenet without it being questioned or muddled or befuddled or something. And so in this particular case, that caused enough doubt or disdain to cause the upside down. Stranger Things, remember?
Yes. So did LaRouche react to that by knowing it was happening, got frightened?
Yeah, he is frightened.
So then he didn't make it.
Wait. Bob, the only fear Lyndon LaRouche has ever had is that the world becomes so avant-garde that he looks normal.
Yeah, that he looks normal. Yeah.
And the way the world is right now, he looks like a preacher toting the Bible under his arm going to church. He looks sober as a judge.
Now, why does that frighten him, that he'd be considered normal?
Because he has to be avant-garde. LaRouche has to be. You got to worry, LaRouche. The queen's got the pineapple, and she's going to shove it up your mom the opposite way. Yeah. Gonna be ugly.
So LaRouche, you're saying he becomes normal. That means he's a bit obsolete or a bit.
That's right. And that's the reason we said he's dead.
Right now, he died in the shock of being obsolesced.
Worked all of his life. The only thing he ever tried to be was the most avant-garde.
Yeah,
the most. He wanted to be crazier than Worcester. He didn't even know who it was. He wanted to be crazier than Paul Shockley. He didn't even know what it was.
Right. Now,
to be that. But that Thompson's what you're talking about. Thompson is the issue that brought everything down. Okay?
Yeah.
And that downness is what you had to survive and go through. Okay, we have a new series for you, Bob. We hope you enjoy it. Brand new. Explains a lot of stuff. It's on the thing called Netflix. Do you know Netflix?
Yeah, I know Netflix. What's it called?
It's called Dark.
D-A-R-K.
And in your defense, the delicious part is it's a little series. So you can watch it. You know, you start it and you watch it when you want to. When you got an hour, you can do a couple of them. Just for a season or so. It's not like 100 episodes. It's very, very, very critical. They take up all this aspect. They explain time. They explain how the triangulation works, how the theorems are composed, how nuclear waste applies, the God particle. It blows up a whole bunch of stuff just fresh and new here in 2019, just for you, Dark Soul Productions. Decided to make you a little picture, and you can promote it. We're not going to. We're not going to. You may if you like. But we're not.
Why wouldn't you promote it?
Because we don't care if they watch it or not. If they watch it good, if they don't watch it good. We made them watch OA, and they're still bitching about that. So,
okay, so did Thompson do something a couple of years ago? Did he say something? Did he complain about me? Did he go into a coma? Is this on a non-physical level, his influence?
He's lost.
Yeah. Yeah.
See, he appreciates you because he was never anything without you. Nobody in the world, in this living world, would know who he even fucking is, less than
right.
you.
No,
really,
he was known in the 70s. You know, he was known in the 70s, but not
for
now.
What? For being a troublemaker.
okay, that's what Andrew McCloon calls me. I'm known as a troublemaker when Andrew McCloon is asked.
Well, you bury them very righteously. So good.
Yes.
Next time he says that, today, would I be careful? Now we are post Mary McLuhan. he might enjoy that. He might enjoy that. What do you mean by that?
Right.
Okay.
There. Now back to Thompson. So Thompson is sitting there, pissed off a couple of years ago. Did he utter something? Did he give a command? Or he just thought things that caused the flip?
He always wrote things. He's been a writer all of his life, writing things of writing.
Yeah.
And trying to write what he could write about writing. And that's all he did. And he got sideways because everything he would write wouldn't do anything. So he got progressively more and more and more pushed to the point where he pushed a button too fast.
He wrote something?
No good. Yeah.
Yes, he was writing a blog, you know, an obscure place. I was reading it. Nobody was reading it. He had his Facebook page. He'd do occasionally when he was feeling well. That's the writing you're talking about. And he was trying to advise everybody on what to do. You know, he had that big perspective. The megalomania.
the big perspective that didn't make the tiny note chart.
So
that's funny. That was good. That was good, Bob.
Okay, but he had the power to cause a shift in the world temporarily.
Yes.
Is it because he was on my? Because I talked to him. It's like as the drops make ionots powerful. If Bob talks about
you,
it makes you powerful.
You made him.
Yeah.
You made him.
Like
everything was going wrong. Everything was going backwards. Everything was crisscross. Everything was out of whack.
Right, because he was an old-fashioned ecologist. He didn't get...
Old-fashioned. He's an old-fascist is what he was.
Old-fascist. All right. So, okay, now I have a good question here. Ian said...
Okay, well,
doing
you may
the
have
houses,
a good answer.
Right. I think we were doing the House of Stewards, and Ian said,
yes,
it all goes back to Normandy. Now, is that the Pendragon Arthur point or since then or before Arthur, King Arthur?
All of them. It goes in 33-year jumps, Bob. 33
okay.
up, 33 back.
How's that relate to the 16? The what's the one that we found out about? 70-year jumps, I think it was 70-year.
Well, those have that's the Jubilee. You're talking about Jubilee. Those mark those are markers. Those are markers. These are just the 33 is dividing of the warp jumps when things realign.
Yeah,
you're talking about the star business. The 33 jumps. So that's how you can jump from the Queen Mother all the way to Queen Victoria.
Right. When we this is a side same area, but when we talk about the roots of the Tree of Life go into Andromeda, the Andromeda constellation is right beside me, right here in my room. It's not 2 billion years light years away, right? It's right beside me.
If it is 2 billion light years away, it's still right next door to you, because you aren't limited to the constructs of time. So therefore, it doesn't matter. So that's the difference. Now, for the little man and other people, that's the big trouble, in Little China, but not for you.
Right. So. I like the an old metaphor Ian gave to me. You take your intestines, and they're all wrapped around inside your stomach, and different parts of them are touching other parts. But if you stretch it out one long line, they wouldn't be touching each other. But it's like maybe there's no I'm in touch with everything, every constellation. Or is it like the kidney intestines, only some of them I'm in touch with? They're right beside me because that's the part that's touching of the intestine.
There's not much difference. There's not much difference. The line that flows too. So yeah.
So that's why I don't go into parallel world. It's the line that flows too.
Yeah, flows to the preposition to.
Yeah, flows, FLOWS.
Yes.
Flows to. And that was what you showed when we looked at the hologram of JW in the factory in November 27th, 2014. All of a sudden, there were some pastel shapes, lines on the Skype screen. You said that's the connections between two worlds, not our world and another world, but between two other worlds. Is that just describing? Yeah.
That is. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. So, okay. So then, parts. So the way I describe myself, the way I'm just saying, I think about being in touch, nobody thinks that way. Nobody's got the same images as me. Influenced by McLuhan's discarnate stuff and on the telephone, you're everywhere.
It wasn't discarnate. McLuhan didn't have that image. He described it, but he didn't see it as discarnate.
Right. He saw it as physical.
Not physical, tangible. Because he didn't know what physical was. Because physical you got physical.
Right, but I don't know what physical is, and I'm tangibly tangible with everything. My image is different. And Carolyn, does she image like I do about the discarnate vibration?
It's
got to
be real. Nah, it's got to be real. She ain't having
it. Okay, so, and what would be real? Something she can do something with.
Something that has a valid, that nobody can disprove.
Right. Okay, Normandy. So is Normandy the source of the House of Stuart line? When you say Normandy.
The original source.
And who were the people involved with the original? Who were the first copulating couple?
Albert the Great.
Okay, it goes back to him. All right. So
at least. It actually goes to the Kowathanites.
Right. See, they have the bloodline going back.
If you find that, now that'll go, and if in the Jewish world, that would go to Benjamin, the Benjamites.
Okay. Right. Okay.
So you got to do both. You have to do both sides.
Are the both? The Jewish and the what? What are the two side names?
Angelic.
Angelic. Okay, physical, mm-hmm. non-physical, two conversations.
Yep.
So I could go through each of the 12 tribes of Israel, and you could give me the bloodlines that came out of each tribe.
But Deuteronomy does that better. It lines it up step by step by step.
So what blood?
Every last one of them.
Did they only come from the Benjamites and Levites?
No. No, no, they all came from Adam, and it starts and breaks it down from there. Then when you get the house of Benjamin, it lays those off exactly.
So the starting point of Adam would be what I call Rai. It's a fake beginning point because eternity is surrounding it, and there was no beginning like that in the deepest.
And that's what dark cleans up for you, the questions you have about it. How can I be this and how can I be that? And how do I meet myself going to the ball? And how do I fuck my own self and get me pregnant and my baby and I am my own grandson? that kind of stuff.
That was a question in Ulysses. Joyce had figured out that point. James Joyce did, yeah. So is dark written by people who listen to us?
You said you never read Ulysses. Hold on now.
No, you said I read Ulysses.
We said you never. Oh, yeah. That's right. We said you never read Ulysses. That's right.
But the point is that McLuhan defines reading, says in the dictionary, it's called guessing. So I'm always reading and guessing. One never completes the reading process.
Right.
You know. So what we just talked about, it was another topic. We had them write E, Normandy, Bloodlines.
Stewart.
Oh, Dark. So Dark, are these McLean, Virginia people are tapping in on us, hearing our private sessions, and then selling scripts to Hollywood?
They don't have to do that. We do it. We set it up from the mean. We give them the ideas. Because y'all won't believe it. We'll say something, and then we make it a point. Now you can, it explains stuff. So then you can see it in a show.
So Dark is another Dark Soul production. It's another Dark Soul production with you doing. And when you say you give it to them, you affect their non-physical. You're not a person showing up in
They get an idea. Don't have to. They get an idea. And they go, oh, well, this is a good idea. Let's do that. Okay. And then step. And then they have a thought. And the thought comes into an idea. And an idea becomes a notion. The notion becomes a playwright, a script. Then somebody buys it. And a lot of shit's written, but not everything gets bought.
Right. And so Ion is very involved with creations, or was, in the Gulf. And so many creations, including the Bible, were inspired by non-physical, by Ion.
Yes, because where that impetus came from was when the humans stopped applying their place of power.
That's right. They had to rely on inventions and extensions. That's the little man's task.
Or I can't get up, make me a remote control. Okay. The remote control controls them. They don't control the remote control.
Right. And that was the invention of the gut for little man, was to have a place to suicide into. And then an extension of that is all the inventions of little man's extensions. It all comes from the gut. The gut phenomenon of fallen man.
The unrealized
creation. Right, right. Okay, so Normandy, it goes back to there, and I got a flash on that. I said, that's the beginning of Finnegan's Wake. That's Tristan and Iso. So I looked it up, and their myth has them sailing from Brittany more to see King Mark, who maybe was in Dublin or someplace. But Normandy is not named, but is that the same area that the Tristan and Iso story comes out of?
Area, but see, you're going to get into lords. You're going to get into lords, and it's like, oh, yeah, who knows what that was? Nobody. Okay.
So that might be Bob and Connie, or Tristan and Iso, or is me and Carolyn, Ophanel and Carolyn, is part of that mythology?
Maybe.
And you did say somewhere, I just listened to, maybe it was last Saturday, the remaking of history that I'm doing. That's still going on. We're remaking 1960 to 1990.
And we don't give it all because we don't want it to get undone.
Yeah.
We don't want it to get completely undone.
All right. The what was discovered at CERN that they're not talking about?
What's presented in Dark.
Okay. Now, we know there's some parallel worlders overseeing the activities at CERN. Did the parallel worlding people know?
What were they trying to invent at CERN, Bob? What was their goal? What were they looking for?
I think they were trying to prove a particle.
They're trying to prove dark matter. And we said they were going to find the God particle.
Instead of dark matter.
Well, but that's where you prove it, is in dark matter.
So they did find the God particle.
Yeah, you watch it. You see it in dark.
But isn't that my bacteria when I visited? They just picked up some of my Alpha Centauri bacteria.
Yeah. You damn cookie crumbs.
Right. What happened in their machines or particle accelerators for them to see it? What did they see? What showed up? Statistics
A big black blob of exokinetic energy.
And it showed up within the tunnels of the particle accelerator or in their room?
Yeah. No difference. Some of that's evaporated now. It's not there anymore.
Right, but it was in the tunnel, not in the president's office or somebody's office.
Yeah, they don't talk about it because they can't.
Well, why? I mean, they saw something, and now they shut up because they say, uh-oh, this is real. We don't know how to do it, how to talk about it, so we better
and
shut
now
up.
We've done it. Now we've done it. We can't undo it. Uh-oh.
So are they trying to figure it out, going back, researching different things?
We don't know what they know. They got a picture of your damn ass, that stupid herringbone tweed jacket with the pockets with the
what did you say they spoke
patches.
To me what did you say
they have pictures of you in that stupid herringbone tweed jacket with the pocket with the elbows, you know, the elbow patches.
As being Sherlock Holmes, looking like Sherlock Holmes.
It's ridiculous. It was ridiculous.
Did I have a hat on?
You had your hat in your hand. It was a bolo.
Okay, so
a little fedora.
Okay, but McLean, Virginia is listening right now. And do they pass this on?
Yeah, they can. They learned it to file it. It's all good. They get out of control. They know what they know. You know what to do. See, that's the rub. It's like LaRouche was concerned that McLuhan would figure out. That it's not that way. It's that they're surveilling you, Bob, but you're actually for surveilling them. Because if they've got to watch you empirically, you know where they are every time. Well, now who's the fool?
Okay, so what is CERN doing? Okay, they're trying to figure out how to explain what they discovered.
They're trying to figure out how they're going to say they spent all this damn money and evaporated the caves that aren't there anymore. How do you spend all this money on this particle accelerator that ain't there no more? So they shut the
Well, the
up.
Black stuff is not there. The particle accelerator is still there.
No, it's not. It's gone. They didn't dismantle it. It disappeared. It's gone.
With the black
it's gone.
Stuff. With the black blood.
It's floating in the middle.
What's floating in the middle? The black blob?
The black blob.
Right. They can't see the accelerator right now. They can't see it.
That's correct. It was not there. So.
Wow. Okay. Right. The next point would be...
But it won't take long. When they start talking about it, we make the recording. You've got it recorded. Tuck it away. When they start playing it, then you're going to know that because now they're playing it, that they figured a way to show there's this accelerant in the accelerator. Accelerator.
Yeah, they can show that an accelerant entered their accelerator.
Correct. And then they can prove the point, but they can't even talk about it at this point because it's not going to work out. They can't get there.
Right. So did I come from Andromeda constellation also, along with all these other people found out the other night, Saturday
and
night?
No.
Right. So who comes from Alpha Centauri? Who came with me? Anybody?
There were a couple of strays. They don't mean much.
But the Alpha Centauri, if I come from there, I've got a stronger hologrammy ability, so I take over the sun compared to Andromeda people.
Well, your face is the same as the sun.
Right, and that's the power of coming from Alpha Centauri?
Mm.
Or it's just
no,
the power of my own
ascension? Shape. That's your
it's
shape.
It's just me. Okay,
yeah.
So... So we talked about how Andromeda is right beside us. Okay, you mentioned the Loom movie. And I haven't seen it, but is the Loom movie a metaphor for Ion or Iondom?
the way that connects information in a forthright knowing, that you can answer the question and then it weaves and gives an answer. That's the way non-physical works. So it's an example of that, yes.
And that would include the Chantilly lace and the attaching types and designs that we talked about the other night, the
yeah,
variations of
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Okay, so I was thinking, you know, the traditional science fiction, no, the kind of mystical fantasies. Carol used to read a lot of these books where somebody would discover a jewel, and then they could run the tribe or the area and win all the wars. The objects, like remember the blue something in Korea you talked about way back there, these powerful artifacts, which is made into the TV show, you know, Mrs. Fitzgerald, what was that show called? Feed Forward, no, it wasn't Feed Forward. Warehouse, yeah, the Warehouse show with all these artifacts.
Yeah, Warehouse 13.
Yes, yeah, Warehouse 13. So most dynasties were supported or triggered or were able to happen because somebody stumbled on some weird gadget that could do magical things.
Called artifacts that were imbued. Everything is imbued with power. And shovel is imbued with power because you have to put your foot on it to push it in the ground. But if you can get it to where the power comes from, not your foot, or from some other place, now it's a magically imbued shovel. You can watch
right, so imbued artifacts are not extensions of our body, senses, or faculties.
True.
That's what you just said. You know, the shovel is an extension of the foot or the hand. That's friction, that's work, that's little man. But the shovel that digs by itself is not an extension of us. You could say it's an extension of non-physical. Correct?
Good.
Or some other frequencies. Okay, so the modern artifact is ION for Bob and Carol and JW. You are the loom, the artifact that we can wield to make unknowable effects or non-understandable effects.
Yeah,
would
but
you agree?
What if it's the loom? What if the weave makes the loom instead of the other way around?
Well, the loom is a weave. But the weave makes the womb.
Okay.
So that Bob created Iondom? Is that what you're saying?
Or
the weave made Ion?
No, it's just the power gave answers to questions. Well, power gives us answers to questions. No difference.
Right, so you are a modern artifact.
Okay, yeah.
Or are you the source of all these magical artifacts?
No, then we wouldn't care. You wouldn't know the difference. It's okay.
Right. And I wouldn't understand the difference between you and Holy Spirit.
Right. Exactly right. Because they'd be so independently practically the same, you wouldn't be able to tell the difference.
Okay. You, a little louder, a little more clear. What'd you say?
Said.
That's it.
Sorry. That's the validating point. The validating point that to be clear.
The validating point is to be clear.
Yeah.
But, okay, back to the ION is a modern, up-to-date, new artifact. But maybe you're saying ION's more than a new artifact.
Well, it's the impetus is something that makes the power flow. Okay? If the word
the impetus, what would the impetus be in that sentence? The impetus makes the power flow. So
impetus. The controlling of an artifact. You're saying ION is an artifact. And we go, no, it's not quite like that. Because, well, are you going to say that the magic shovel is more important than what better than the magic shovel grave that it's digging? Maybe the grave that it's digging is much more important than all that.
Oh, the effect of the application of the artifact, it causes the artifact.
Correct, and not the other way around. So we wouldn't be an artifact.
Oh, you wait a minute. You hit your phone. Not can't hear you. Fix your phone. You moved your mic.
Are you there?
You moved your mic. I can't hear you. You scraped something and You're out of position. You're mute.
Lord, so there you go. Come back.
Yeah. Yeah.
There you go.
Okay.
Sorry, tech body overload.
So ion is the effect of the artifact.
Yes.
And the effect precedes the artifact.
The effect, right? You're the effect. You, Bob, are the effect.
Yes.
We are the effect. And so we can put the power in the star, but you cast the stars into the heavens.
Right. The effect sounds like the thing you apply it, the application of the effect.
It's how it affects you. It affects you, not affects you. It affects you.
Okay. It's affect. And if it affects me, do I have to use it to be affected?
No. You can use it to be sated, to be complete.
Right. And that'll be the affect, the effect.
Right.
Getting completed.
And if you did it, and if you didn't like it, you just throw it away.
Right.
Whereas
the effect is the general environment of ion. The ion as a general environment, as an effect, produces effects on people. Do you agree with that?
Sure.
Yeah. Because I'm never sure what the... I understand affect as an effect on me and my emotions and feelings, but what is the effect? How is that different from the affect? So it must be more impersonal, doesn't it?
Okay. If you lock the door, you affect the condition of the locked door. If you're on the outside of it, because the door is locked, it had an effect on your ability to enter the room.
Right, so an effect is something I don't control. Affect is
correct.
Something I do control.
And you can know about it and complain. You can know about it and even complain about it. Like you complain about how cold it is, but yet you can buy the fur to warm yourself up with.
Right, so am I the only one who can affect ion? Or maybe me and Carolyn?
So far.
The others are just being affected. You know, they're all witnessing ion as an effect. Yeah, I see. Okay, when Alyssa and you were discussing stargates and going from the River Jordan, and I re-listened to it, you do say the Houston Gate, because I kept saying Houston. You said, what's Houston? And making fun of Houston, the city. But what is
Houston, we have a problem.
Yeah, what is the term Houston Gate in that sequence of words you were discussing with Alyssa?
It's what destroyed the Challenger series.
Yes, it's an artifact or something somebody did, a budget cut. That reminds me, that's what you told me in 86, Dick Cheney realized I was going to frustrate his ambitions. That's when the Challenger happened. Was there a connection between Cheney and the Challenger tragedy?
Yes.
And the Houston Gate is the term for the mechanisms involved. No? Houston Gate is not the term for...
No, it is.
Yeah. So it doesn't mean the city Houston. So you were explaining to Alyssa the connections from River Jordan to Houston Gate to maybe a stargate. The Houston Gate was a means
it's
to
where
a stargate.
That line, and that's where they messed up with Challenger, and that's why it crashed over Houston.
Did you say over Houston?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it wasn't the seal, the industrial seal that burnt out and caused, they tried to claim the seal did it, some damaged seal.
Yep.
Wasn't that. Unless that was an effect. Now, that would be an effect. No, it wouldn't be an effect. It would be an effect.
It would
be larger.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay,
yeah.
But the environment did that.
That's Croker. That's Croker 101.
Right. So the effect that caused, that made people think it was a little seal on the ship, a rocket, we can also use the word effect is the environment of the Houston Gate. Is an effect. Effect is when you can apply it. Okay.
Good.
When people.
Good.
All right. So, and when you say Houston Gate, that means a gate as like portal? Gates are bigger than portals. Is that what that phrase refers to? A portal? A gate? When you call it the Houston
Gate.
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 Yeah, it's a gate. But so it's called the Houston Gate because it's near Houston. It's around NASA and the rockets that took off from Houston. That's why it's called the Houston Gate, not Houston City.
Correct.
Correct? Yeah. So
Correct.
now you talk about on Saturday, Andromeda is humans' heaven. Now, is Genesis, the garden, and Genesis, Andromeda? What Genesis refers to. Is that
It'll go
Andromeda?
with it. It'll go with it. It'll go with it. But it's an example of it. It's not Andromeda, but it's an example of it. Of the land of milk and honey, of
No. Now
palaces.
you say it too many times. You're saying the Garden of Eden is an example of Andromeda.
Yeah, it's an example. It's not Andromeda. It's an example. The garden is an example of the power that's
So
Andromeda.
Andromeda is the source for, is that a land of the ascended kind of place?
Yes.
Right. So all these years you've been talking about getting back to Genesis and the return of the ascended continent, you were talking about the Andromeda constellation,
In essence, yeah.
which is not a constellation, a bunch of stars the way our telescopes see it, or the way science sees it. It is a
Right.
parallel dimension, parallel realm, parallel aspect that our little globe stuck inside the black hole is an image of the globe and the black hole, but it's not an accurate visualization. In other words, I'm in touch with Andromeda if I'm activated my power through the drops
Right.
or other means.
Activating it. Activating it. Yes.
Yeah, now I think you said that Earth is more powerful, more central than all the constellations, stars we see with our telescopes. We are the center of something that they're just rim. They're just exedes out there mingling in a lessened state. So the galaxy is a projection, or no, constellation is a visualization of the condition, the non-visual condition of the ascended environment. Right? The stars are
Mostly, yes.
metaphors. The
Mostly.
stars
They're
are
lined up.
metaphors.
The stars are like
Right.
leaves falling off a tree.
Right.
You see
And
it all.
the tree is the planet Earth, or what we call Earth, or where we are when we're experiencing earthliness. Right? That's the tree that the leaves fall off of. I'm in the center of the universe, and everybody's on Earth to the degree they understand where they are. We are bigger. Our oceans are bigger than outer space. We are not subject to the trillions of the huge numbers that science projects out there. I'm in a place bigger than Saturn that people call Earth, correct? You still there?
Yes, we are.
Did you hear what I said? Are you going to answer that?
No, we did not hear what he said.
Okay. Ion said that Earth, or what we call this world we're here, whatever these trees and things are here in Maui, is way more powerful, more central, if you had a center in the universe, than all the constellations out there.
Maybe.
It's like Earth is a mansion, a palace, and the constellations are just little speckled gold dust on the ceiling. They're not huge worlds that dwarfs Earth. And that's a maybe that hasn't been determined yet.
Hadn't been it. It's becoming.
Right. So the more power we get, we make Earth bigger. Okay, so what what we visualize with normal telescopic science, the position of Earth is on the fringes of nowhere, and there's billions of stars and billions of bigger things. As we reacquire, remember our power, we suck, we inflate Earth, what we are thinking Earth is. We inflate it, make it bigger than the rest of the world, correct? That makes sense?
Yes.
Yeah. Now, where is the guff in relation to Andromeda? Is there any connection? Is Andromeda in the physical and the guff is non-physical? This is when there was a guff.
Yes. Good.
When people died, did they go to the Andromeda or to the guff?
Andromeda.
Not the guff. So we can now drop the word guff and apply the word Andromeda. Now, the guff was non-physical, created by little man. But there is the ascended condition, and that's more powerful than the guff, or created non-physical, and that's what Andromeda is. So Andromeda, for the first time, you applied it this weekend as the goal of ascension, a place marker. That's what you mean by Andromeda, correct?
Yes, yes.
Now, when I got everybody as Ophanel to fall, and then we would reascend, showing our power that we were able to fall and then overcome it, did I speak that and implement that plan from an Andromeda, from the Andromeda environment? Are you pondering the question?
No, what's the question?
When I announced to everybody, we're going to descend and fall, and then we're going to reascend to show how powerful we are because we were able to recover from the fallen state. Did I make that statement in Andromeda?
Yes, you did.
So Andromeda is another name for the integrated continent, the ascended continent, the Yamaka. Did you get that? You want me to do it again?
Most of it.
Okay. Most of the continent is Andromeda.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have a new term. So humans never had this term for heaven or for the ascended condition.
They just called it a heavenly body, and it is.
Right. So
it's in the heaven.
But ascended people know this information.
Yeah,
or
they don't talk about it. They don't. They do, and they don't talk about it. They just sort of go with it. They know something. So just because a lot, you know, stuff other people don't know, you don't tell them they're stupid and fucked up and going to die.
Yes, but you announced it on Saturday.
Yeah.
What's the date? December. Seventh, going into the eighth, on 2019, you announced it. That was the first time little man, non-ascended people heard this word applied the way you did, Andromeda
maybe.
As heaven.
Maybe.
Okay. So Genesis, we're going back towards Genesis on the Bible's track. We're going back towards Genesis. When we arrive in Genesis, we will have arrived at the ascended continent. In other words, Andromeda? Is Andromeda another?
Not so fast.
But is Andromeda another word for the Garden of Eden?
No, it represents the Garden of Eden. It's not Eden. The
it
garden was created to hold a little man who fell under her power.
Right, that's right.
It's fit for a god, but it ain't a god's. It's fit for a god, but it's not God's house.
Right. Andromeda is.
Right.
So when we did the Genesis series, Adam was the second creation. God created Adam. The God was the beings, myself, on Andromeda. We created it from Andromeda. And so the flood was the flood was the the cleaning up of Andromeda. Andromeda had got mixed up with mating with angels and the seraphim and that, right? That happened in Andromeda. No? You can't comment on that?
Yeah, we're being testy.
Right, because I'm making statements. I'm not asking questions. So if I
right,
put
we concur. We're concurring, but we're just like hitting bumps. And then how far do you go, and where's it going
right.
to land? So,
so that when we were at JW's host in July, we went through the flood, the fall, and particulars, and the creation of angels and what the angels created. We have a name for that place that's only referred to in Genesis, because Adam is in the fallen state, you know, the second phase of creation that happened was the means to lead to the flood, because I think Adam was there before the flood, but Adam is after the fall of Adam from the Andromeda continent. You agree with that sequence?
Yes.
Okay. So now, all of this is mind talk by Bob. Okay? This is mind mapping. It's like the angel diagram is a chart of the stars. That is not relevant to the ascended state that doesn't need that kind of mapping.
Good. It
doesn't have them. What? I think you said
good.
Yes. Yeah. Okay, so
good.
I know what I'm saying. I know what I'm saying is incomplete compared to the ascended situation, the post-Mary McLuhan, post-mind situation, right? Where the mind is just doing the autonomic stuff, not involved with conceptualization. Okay, correct? Those words were all right?
They were. They were very nice words.
Okay, so much is lined up with Orion. What is Orion's relationship to the ascended continent known as Andromeda? Is it a subplot, a subset of the ascended condition?
Almost.
Is Orion right?
Almost.
So now we do have the created worlds. We have Orion, and there's a relationship between the USA, Alaska, and Orion. And maybe the Giza pyramid, those relationships are to be enjoyed by the ascended person.
They are.
The senses, are to be enjoyed, but not to be trapped in. Okay, so let's see. Now, a lot of this stuff will be in dark in the TV show. Correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
Light will be subdued from the earth.
Did you say I? I will be subdued from
light.
Earth?
Light.
L-I-G-H-T? Light?
Yes, yes.
Will be subdued from the earth, did you say?
In the earth, yeah.
In the earth. That's a general statement of the process that I'm talking about.
Of all the, yes.
Of all the factors I was talking about, summarized by that statement. Okay, correct?
Yes.
Now we're going to go to something I've been exploring the last couple of days. The notes. Okay. Now, Ian gave me Jack Sarfati to look at. And I would like to take his terms and have Ian comment on them, correct them, dismiss them. Because I could play Sarfati talking and have you, listen to a sentence or so, then I stop and have you comment on it. But I think it might be too late to do that. So
yeah,
I'm going to just name some terms and see what Ian's reaction to them. So I have here David Bohm, B-O-H-M. he developed something called the pilot wave theory. And Jack says the pilot wave theory is not deterministic. Do you agree with that sentence?
We do.
Is that concept okay? These are little man concepts, nothing to do with the ascended.
Yeah.
But we're playing with the concepts, and my question would be: is Jack getting close to explaining the ascension process in physics terms?
No, not quite in physics terms. But what he has a construct that can apply to the premise.
Right.
So he's getting another example. Like they talk about where the birds and the bees, and then that they use that story to tell you about birthing babies, the birds and the bees.
Right.
It's like
so
that.
He keeps up on all the latest studies and developments and pattern breakthroughs, and encyclopedically mashes them together and claims, well, it's all leading to what he's trying to make. So he'll say something like time symmetric retrocausality. That's a verbalization of the fact there's no time. And if you drop into time, you'll have...
But if there is no time, but if there is no time, your retrocausality can't be proven. It's a false premise.
Right.
See,
he's saying nothing. What I found interesting is that all these scientists that he's listening to, integrating into his pattern, are all working within the time thing, and it's actually silly what these guys are doing. And
all of it is about as silly as Newtonian law. That doesn't even make sense.
Right. So he will say special relativity theory does not have gravity like a pilot wave does. And a pilot wave involves a neutral test particle.
A pilot wave doesn't have gravity either.
Right. Well, as he said, does not have gravity like a pilot wave, I think. Then in brackets, a neutral test particle with no charge follows a geodesic or a trivial straight line with
no
acceleration.
Neutral. There is no neutral. It's either a positive or negative pattern. There's no neutral. There's no ground. There's no ground that is positive. It would be a wavelength. It would be a ground. So that's like saying my Y, X, and Y axis. My Y axis is going up and down. My X... chromosomes. It doesn't go that way. That's the mean. It falls at left to right. The horizon is set. It doesn't, it's not positive or negative. That's the problem.
Right. And he talks about in the flat space-time geometry.
Yeah. Well, flat time space geometry, that's string theory. We already undid that long ago.
Right. So then he says, if you have large concentrations of mass energy, it doesn't modify the space-time because it's rigid in special relativity. That's the limitation of Einstein.
But it does.
Okay, Einstein needs the equivalence principle or action-reaction.
And it's not.
You would cancel every term I'm using here.
They're incomplete. So far, they're incomplete.
Right. And they're operating from the wrong premise. Incomplete premise
dark,
that there's still time.
Dark. Dark will clean
dark.
That up.
Right. So Jack is going around to physics conferences trying to lock down who's got the best explanation for everything. Meanwhile, there's the TV world where some guys listen to eavesdropping a Jack Sarfati lecture, grab the words and make a fictional story called Dark out of it. That's a smarter way. They're not trying, the guys who make Dark aren't trying to be validated in some scientific journal, peer-reviewed journal.
Because nobody's looking at the peer-reviewed journal. Nobody gives a fuck about that shit. He gives a shit about what he has to say about something to say. That's like saying, well, I live my life because of Lyndon LaRouche. Well, good, LaRouche don't care.
So I was looking at another video with Jack's addressing this conference, but there's only like 25 people in the room, and they're all a bunch of slubs, and you know how I avoid ugly people. I just saw these ugly people, and they all have their labs, they're accomplished physicists, but they're kind of losers, and they're not in touch with what we're doing or what's happening. That's exactly
or what they're doing.
Of them.
They're not in touch. They're not in touch with what they're doing. They could do what you're doing, but. Maybe
they're
you can buy some of their labs. We can buy their labs, maybe, since they're not using them. We'd be like that. Be like the little boy from Tishomingo. He wasn't using his soul. We may buy it from him, Bob. Have an extra soul.
I didn't know it was a boy from Tishomingo. That's a new back added to that story. Okay, a statement here. Now, I would write out what Jack would say. Einstein's action-reaction organizing principle, formulated as part of the non-statistical post-quantum weak Lagrangian connecting the pilot wave to its beaver.
Oh, my God. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. The gibblers and the globloppers and long at the glib-glab. The glib-glab can't have a gizgasm if the gizgasm comes from a globlobber. Because the globlobber has been set for the premise of the time of a premise that has a time to be a premise. But if it doesn't have time to be a premise, then the globlobber has got to be updued by the subduration of the Laptala Gobo Shoto. Come on now. You said 10 words. It's like taking 10 medications and mixing them together and saying you've made a whole new drug. You don't even know what you're talking about. That's a bunch of crap. At the first parts, when you lay the thing out, it's like the definition of those subjective conditions can't be arranged in that segue to making sense of anything.
In other words, Robert of Tottenham makes more sense on
right. Well, Bob, yes, of course it does, because that's why we move in the light, because the light was in our move. And so because the move was in our light, we had to validate that, right? Isn't that what you said? Well, something like that, what you said. Yeah, it was. Something you said. Yeah, that's right. We don't know.
You were saying mood, M-O-O-D, in that last sentence, right?
Yeah.
Mood.
Yeah.
Okay. Mood. Here's another one. Electric dipoles wrapped in a cylinder pumped with energy. They have pulses like a laser. These dipoles become a coherent long-range excitation wave, like phonons.
They don't. Sound. Photons. Sound waves.
Phonons.
It's ridiculous. You still object. That's like saying you have a pipe organ and music comes out of the pipe organ like a water out of a water hose.
Yeah.
It doesn't work like that. Once you open it out of a tube, it goes everywhere. It's not like a water spigot. It goes everywhere.
Right.
So you can't load that and say it comes out like a laser, because it does not.
Okay, so then
it's not concentrated. The energy is not like that.
Right, so all that crazy stuff I just said leads into this clause. Making nanotechnological models of these Frohlich membranes, Frohlich some person, and pump them with energy, but take it far away from the thermodynamic equilibrium. And these effects will come into effect.
The thermodynamic equilibrium, if there's a thermodynamic condition, it's not equal. A thermodynamic charge or reaction has got to be the obverse of equilibrium. That's kind of like saying, well, if the sun blows up, it'll be equally reactive. But the sun blows up, we're not going to have that conversation.
Action-reaction. Okay.
But if the action is to destroy the sun, then that's the reaction, is the sun is destroyed. But you're not going to be there to note the oscillation of the non-peptide bonding cellular strata, of the strata that applies to the subculture that precluded the lined out linear diode, or the diode that connects to the transistor, of the transistor that might have been hooked to the radio if the radio was playing. And here this proves the point once, finally, and forever, that for sure it's been validated now. Those words are the proof that coffee don't fax worth a damn.
Now, they have another concept. I looked it up with such a thing called empire wave. So exploring an empire wave, we want to recover those gauge symmetry physics through Fibonacci chains. We take a three-dimensional slice or subspace, which crosses different times, of the four-dimensional quasi-crystal and run it through multiple times.
It doesn't run through time. Doesn't run like that. Now dark does explain that, but it's all cycles. The only way constructs of time works is it has to go in cycles. Remember we said there's timing,
yes,
but there's not time. There's timing. It's like how many times it's loops. But so this whole time structure business, you can't take time and put it in a bottle and then shake it out when you want some time or extra time or take away time. That's what he's trying to say. He's like, if I could put time in a bottle, this is what I would do. Well, good luck with that thought, but.
Right. And, so run it through the four-dimensional quasi-crystal and then run it through multiple time slices in the eight-dimensional
four-dimensional quasi-crystal. So we're gonna take the. It was a cool tone. It was a cool tone, Bob. It was a cool tone. It was a hot model, but a cool tone. And we licked the red crystal and got the blue crystal, but you gotta have the black crystal.
So these multiple time splices in the eight-dimensional space. Now, as a result of that, the Empire Wave, an object, is very analogous to Bohm's pilot wave, where the wave guides the particle, which is unfortunately deterministic.
Unfortunately deterministic. So are you, Bob. You're unfortunately deterministic. That's right. You're unfortunately deterministic. There you go. That's nice.
All right. So then he continues. He takes Lenny Susskind, who's the king of string theory, takes his ER equals EPR, which has something to do with quantum entanglement, and Wheeler's quantum gravity wormholes, which have dual aspects. And when you have back reaction, I think this would be the way Sarvati goes beyond Wheeler and Susskind to get to his post-quantum theory. When you have back reaction entanglement messaging plus traversable wormholes, plus close timeline curve computing, non-deterministic, that involves Wozek's time crystals. The third revolution, the result, is the post-quantum CTC computer, which solves NP.
Oh, Lord God, have mercy. So PP equals BM, and BM of PP, you have BM of PP. And that gets the third dimension in the and the age of Aquarius, and the third, the rising sun of the house of the seven rising peepees, and the nine stars of the 11th house.
Post-Mary McLuhan, who Jack Trevanny knew.
I put
that in there for Jack. Computing back from the future. Now, he's talking about a bit of what Ayn says, that things are sent from the future to our past, didn't show up in our then or now.
But not because some diode got ripped on his tripod and his lift lamp and the lob gobber got lift up on the lube because the lube couldn't hold the tober. And the tober says, well, can't be possible because the toe can't make the notch and the cane can't be the todge. You can't take the good todge and run against the nabe, and the nabe holder won't even fit. You can't prove your point by those isometric conditional responses to diodes that aren't connected to anything. A diode has to be connected to something. It can't be free-balling. That's like your testicles. If they're just flowing down the stairs, they're not helping you with procreation.
All right, so he's moving towards his vision of the conscious universe. Do you accept that phrase,
see?
The conscious universe?
Conscious. Well, what all that means is they see like Bob. If he means that I see like Bob, okay, we would accept that. That's not what he means at all.
Okay, so he gives a picture of the conscious universe, and he says it's like a
pendulum. Which is a lie. That's not at all what it's like.
Yeah, and he says it's like a Penrose conformal diagram, and he puts in brackets, 64 billion years of conformal time, from the dark energy density, which is infinite proper time measured with a spring, and that corresponds to a finite conformal time. And that is Feynman, Richard Feynman's conformal time. In brackets, I have two mirrors locally at rest in the Hubble foil, co-moving and exchanging light signals. The space is expanding and accelerating. Infinite spring time is a finite mirror time. Now, it's a lot of babble. Could you redeem any of it? No, you couldn't redeem anything that they're saying.
No. Well, what we would say is that you left off polar conditional responses. Everything is centrifugally driven from a polar capacity, including your thing of time. Now, can you go to another world and do it? Maybe, but you're leaving off the further the poles are apart, the more attraction there is for them to flip.
Right, so Jack is trying to explain parapsychology, ESP, and how the energy devices of UFOs and ETs. He's trying to describe what we have created.
Yeah, and candy bars. And candy bars. He's trying to explain candy bars.
Yeah, because I met with him.
Two of those formulas, and you'll make a baby Ruth every time.
Right, baby Ruth. So I met with him on March 8th or 9th, 2013 in San Francisco. I said, we've created what he tries to talk about, Coldplay. And he said, well, I look at these odd fringe inventions and artifacts for $1 million. So I had to come up with $1 million. So here it is, 6 years later, we are implementing it. And he's there talking about us in a crazy way. So I'm now quoting him and having Ion comment on it. But Jack still has to look at what we do when he finally gets a Coldplay box. And none of his concepts that he's been babbling here will relate or explain our Coldplay.
Yeah.
Correct?
But you won't show it to him for $1 million, Bob. You'll charge him more than that to see it.
Yeah.
You'll charge him more than that to see it.
That's right.
He'd look at it for $1 million. He'll have to pay more than that to see it.
Right. Now, he says he's got Silicon Valley mucky mucks funding him, keeping him alive.
Who cares? We don't doubt it. We don't doubt a bit. You know why? Because they're sitting here going, okay, good, this is great. Let him talk about some globber globber, glibber glab, glib glib. We can take and make an app of the glib glab glopping, and we can make a time app to give people more time or less time or speed time up or slow time down. And we can do it because there's no time really. So we'll use his words to prove the theorem that there's a conditional response that the tech body, the black mirror, controls time and can move it up and down or back and forth. So if you're late for an appointment, you can move everybody else's clocks in the office to your time, and you're not, you're right on time. And they'll make a gajillion, people to pay a gajillion dollars for that aspect, and of course the tech body don't give a fuck, there's no time anyway. So why wouldn't they support Jack fucking Socrates, the thief, the stupid thief?
Okay, so they're doing it for his words. Bullshit baffles brains, and that's what runs the market today. Do those Silicon guys that fund him know about our work? Any of them?
Nah. They don't
care. Not even Peter Thiel. Yeah, not even Peter Thiel.
He don't care. He's too busy.
Right.
He has too many penises in his mouth.
Okay, so then the next paragraph, Jack's dictation to me, I sat there and took this down, black body radiation and preferred global frame, special relativity.
You can't say that. Silicon Valley, they'll run you out. You can't run around saying melanated and black and colored and nigger. You can't say that. You can't. They'll run your ass out of. I'll run your ass out of Cupertino, California. You start talking that shit. So just say it.
That's right.
His black body is on thin ice.
Well, I'm reading this into the record for what he's impeached.
Okay.
Special relativity in brackets. No absolute simultaneity. No absolute rest frame. Special relativity is a local tangent space limit of the global general relativity.
No other words. There's no other fucking words that comes to local tangent as opposed to a diametric tangent. What the fuck is a local tangent?
Well, it's a broken symmetry.
It's an extra access. Axis, A-X-I-S, that gives access to the larger dimension of a time-space quorum or a quark. Are you trying to explain the introduction of a quark?
Right, but when you say quorum, that makes me think of firmament, an audience.
Well, it would, but that's a warm medium, though, Bob.
Okay. Spontaneous broken symmetry in ferromagnets and crystals in the ground state. Now, Jack prefers global frame, which includes Doppler shift, dark body radiation, which is maximally isotropic. More babble.
Tropic.
What did I say? Isotropic?
Tropic.
It should be tropic. Isotropic.
Yeah, that's
so
correct.
Then it ends him. He ends talking about a two-sphere surface, and he says, the conscious computer, which he's on the way to making, and that's quantum information is a thought field, or based on quantum information as a thought field, and it has this principle, how the material world is changing the patterns in our thought wave. Our minds are an advanced destiny coherent field, like a Higgs field, and the history one is our memory.
A Higgs boson field can't run anything, especially the theta waves that are in flux from a rapid eye movement tangent of the brain or brain conductivity, as any good electrocardiogram will display. Those thought processes are not consistent or cohabitable from a repetitious position. We can make you dream the same thing over and over and over. We can take you to a place to make you experience something over and over and over. A la Kiska say, your Groundhog Day. I got you, babe. I got you, babe. Every morning at 6 o'clock, I got you, babe.
Yeah,
we can do that. We can do that, but you can't do that, as he's prescribing. From the light or the dark or the over, the under, or the innards or the outers or creek slunk chitlins or anything else that goes along with the condition. You can't make a computer that does that repetitively, because the rapidity will defile the theta wave from the condition of the mind. The synaptic nerve inrons, that's the ends of the lines of the thermogeotactic convolution won't connect to the isometric impact of the campars of the linear lumps. The linear lumps. Yeah. There you go.
The linear lump or lung?
L-U-M. Lump.
And you're not saying linear for linear.
No. Linear lumps. That's where the field of a big construct like God is in your mind. Where you have God. Oh, I know what God is. Oh, praise God. Yes. Oh, God, our help in ages.
Is the linear lung of your brain? Is that a place?
The linear lung would hold a huge construct like Holy Spirit or Christmas or Père Noël or Bouguereau. Bouguereau, the artist, the painter,
yes.
All the
yes,
works of Bouguereau. A linear lung would hold big things that you can't even have dimensional capacity to unfray, to undo. You see, it would be held there in the linear lung.
Okay, so I'm putting it in small scale linear. I put in linear lung.
Images for linear lung.
Yeah, I see the images. Little plugs and things. Philips Bodine, lead strip light, emerge ballast, luminaires, lead luminaries. That's the world of lum.
Uh-huh.
Am I looking at the right thing? Okay. So
sure.
So then this Higgs field thing, advanced destiny coherent field, has two aspects.
Boson Higgs.
Yeah. One aspect is the history aspect, which is our memories. And the other is the advancement of our creativity, our vision. So he's talking about a two-part brain, two-part creative cognitive process made of memories and our creativity, which he says is basically precognition. And he says all creative people back from the future, for example, Michelangelo and his making the sculpture David, he does quote.
We thought he was going to say Michael Jackson. We thought, well, fuck, he's finally on to something. He goes, Michael's coming back. He's going to bring you money. He's got you money too, Bob. That's good.
All right. All creative people are back from the future, and he cited how Michelangelo made David, the sculpture, by listening to the stone. The stone was telling him what to do. You said that back in 2009. And then he says, so, it's all precognition. And he says, this is the final secret of the Illuminati. So he ends his talk. So a little excessive, too many words, but his intentions were fine. Would you say, Ian?
Yeah. He's not going to get him to heaven. If it's supposed to get him to heaven, it ain't going to work. He's too clever by half. But if it's just supposed to get his dick hard, okay, baby, but that'll happen to him in the bath. You'll get in the bathtub, that'll just happen to you naturally. You won't have to do nothing to get in the bathtub, right?
Okay, so Jack, this is my special memo to you, and we hope to hear from you, and please come into our show and interact with Ion's words and your words.
Write soon, write slowly, write surely, and write with compassion until you're left.
Until you're left. What's that mean? Uh-huh. Until you're left? You are left?
Until he's left with his little dick in his hand trying to figure out why there's nobody listening to his... Until there's nobody listening to his bullshit.
Until he has left. Okay. All right. Wonderful. Great session, Ion. Full of gratitude for our details. And thank you very much. We'll talk soon.
Yeah. JW is going to crash.
All right. He deserves
it. Happy day.
Happy day.